Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk about all news, toys, and comic books related to the Transformers!
Hey there, it's your Transmissions crew. This is Charles, also known as Big C. I'm here with Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo.
I'm here with Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hi.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
All right. So we are, you know, we are big G1 fans, as we make no secret about that. And
hell yeah, we are. You kidding me?
And we have been thinking about, since it's the 30th anniversary of Transformers, is there any way that we can go back to our roots? We've had Regeneration 1 that's kind of finished up already. But is there more to mine in the G1 wheelhouse? And with that in mind, Yoshi had a great idea that I think he wants to share with us. So, Yoshi, what have you been thinking?
Well, I don't know if I can take full credit for this. If you remember a couple of episodes back, Charles, we got a message from, was it Tom Porsche?
Procia, yeah.
Procia, who kind of hypothetically threw the question out at us, you know, since IDW has finished with Regeneration 1 and gave it a solid ending, is there any way that IDW might want to do a book based on the cartoon universe, the G1 cartoon universe? And, you know, shortly after that, I was over reading on Twitter, where I shouldn't have been reading, a couple of artists talking about how, you know, that would be an awesome idea. And I piped up, and those folks were Casey Collar and Jean-Paul Beauvais, who both have had experience working on Regen 1. And they seemed like they were really open to the idea of doing this other book if there was enough support, if fans actually were interested in this kind of thing. Maybe that would be enough to show IDW that there is an interest, there is a guaranteed sales market. This book would be worth the time to invest in and create. And it just so happens we have these two gentlemen with us today. Why don't you say hello, Casey?
Hey, everybody.
John Paul?
I was just going to sit there in a really long, frightening silence, but hello, everyone.
So this came about on Twitter. That's why we got you guys together here. Is this actually something you'd be interested in doing together?
Well, honestly, when the Twitter conversation came about, one of the reasons I first chimed in, I can't remember exactly how the conversation went, but something came up regarding JP writing something, writing a Transformers related thing. And I had the opportunity to read some of the stuff that JP's written in the past and, you know, take part in some of the Mosaic and War Journal stuff that he did years ago. And I'm a big believer in his writing, so I jumped in right away with, hey, if JP's writing something, I will definitely volunteer my services if they were wanted to do the artwork. And then I believe at that point somebody, or JP, had posted a mosaic that he had written that had something to do with that bridge between Season 2 and Transformers the movie. And I think from that, the conversation kind of morphed into, hey, why doesn't IDW do something like that? So if I'm remembering correctly, that was kind of something how the conversation went on Twitter. Do I have that right?
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty much, I think it's one of those things when Regen, kind of first came out, when it was first announced, people were kind of saying, oh, I'd love to see the animated, you know, kind of like either season 2.5 or a season 5 or both. It sort of came up, I think it was, you know, on Twitter about, oh, that's something I'd really love to see. And, you know, by no means the first people to ever say, hey, that would be an excellent idea, because it was something that, you know, the Mosaic guys had done. And I think there's like a couple of different kind of deviant art groups that have tried to continue it or thought about continuing it. But it's something that I was always interested in because there's a lot of characters who basically appear from nowhere in Transformers the movie, don't really have an explanation to them. And that's always interested me, you know, sort of spending a bit of time to get to know who these characters were and, you know, something a bit more interesting than them just suddenly there. Yeah, and then it's sort of... It sort of spitballed from that, really. But
so
I would.
You've already got ideas going on for how this might play out.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that after I did the, I had sort of dozens of ideas for when we were doing the mosaics, but you know, probably only about two or three made it to out in the flesh, digitally, in the digital flesh. But yeah, it's something which it's almost easier to say what would you leave out than what would you leave in, because the minute you start thinking about, well, you know, where's this character at this time, and you start joining the dots, and not just in a boring, well, how do you get from A to B, but in terms of, well, there are certain events at the beginning of the movie which, you know, there's a really exciting story to tell in terms of, well, how did the Autobots effectively lose?
Yeah.
You know, some of my notions when I was first doing the project was to say, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe it was sort of a tactical, you know, thing that they did to protect Earth, was almost that the Decepticons were actually imprisoned on Cybertron. And in so doing, they had to give up, the Autobots had to give it up themselves. There's lots of, you know, things in that direction, and lots of characters that disappear and are never ever seen again in season two through season three, that I feel like, well, you know, perhaps something exciting could happen with those guys that they didn't get the chance to have happen to them. So yeah, it's definitely something I've been thinking about, and of course once the Twitter conversation got you know, going, and people seem to like properly be getting quite excited by the notion of perhaps something happening. My mind's been working overtime on sort of little stories.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got literally 20 years of storytelling ground between 1985 and 2005. So I think there's limitless potential for, you know, bringing in different characters. I mean, you could bring in even characters that are not specifically within, you know, season two in the movie. You could visit
Jake Dalrymple.
you could visit other worlds, whatever. I mean, you know, visit veterinary spaying and neutering shops, you know,
absolutely
limitless potential.
You know, does Ravage need spayed is a question which the fans, or has he been spayed? Is he a he? I don't know. I mean, these are questions which no one has asked, and I literally cannot wait to not answer. there's so much stuff. You know, you can go to other worlds. You know, and even with things like, well, like I say, that there's, I don't want to say too much really, because there's sort of quite a lot of ideas which have potential. There's potential to tie it to other things.
I want to be surprised.
Yeah. But Megatron will be pink. I think we can agree on that.
I just love the idea that you could possibly write so many stories and tie them into events that have happened and the fandom knows about because they're, you know, so, you know, classic. Right. Within the TV show, and you can tie them into this. Oh, yes, I know that event, and they're referencing it there. And, you know, that happened here and this happened there. And OK, well, that's where this guy was and that's where this guy was. And, you know, oh, I love that idea. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, I mean, I love the cartoon. The notion of a comic book, you know, continuing it, filling it out, fleshing it out, you know, whoever's working on it is incredibly exciting to me. You know, I think if people are excited by the little one-page stories that were done and think, yes, I'd like to see more of that, then that's also more brilliant. That's more brilliant, isn't it? Technically. I think the one thing which, you know, Regen has proved and, you know, Transformers versus G.I. Joe and running alongside Rid and More Than Meets the Eye is actually, if it's done well, Transformers fans are quite okay with having these other continuities. You know, it's quite a sophisticated audience that can go, well, that takes place during Armada.
Well, that kind of goes back to the beginning with the Marvel comic and the cartoon. They were so completely different.
Absolutely. And a lot of, you know, big toy companies will not allow that. They will say it has to be, you have to have this one line and you can't deviate from it. And I just think, you know, if we'd have had that at any point, you know, we wouldn't have had Transformers UK and the comp and US and the cartoon with all these incredible wellsprings of ideas, and we wouldn't have More Than Meets the Eye and Prime, you know, at the same time. It'd be, no, you have to do a Prime tie-in comic. You know, I just think that's, well, I just, there's not many fandoms, there's not many stories that could be that versatile and still work and still have so many things going for it. So, you know, the cartoon is probably the one aspect that, you know, hasn't been called back to. As I mean, obviously Beast Wars did make a lot of callbacks to the G1 cartoon, as well as the comic, but the cartoon and the movie. So it has been referenced and what have you, but it's probably not had the same push as a lot of the other kind of aspects of the franchise have been.
Would you expect a comic book to have you know, coloring errors and such as per G1 comic or the cartoon?
Do you know, it's funny you say that, because I was actually, I've been watching quite a lot of season 2 since the question came up, and I just find myself, I really want to have admittedly this isn't season 2, but where just bits of characters' faces stay in place whilst the rest of the head moves. I want Soundwave's mouth plate to just go completely wrong on pages. And Rodimus Prime's head to just slowly slide back on his neck like it does in, I think it's, yeah, The Return of Optimus Prime. His head just does a really bizarre kind of slide back off his neck and then lurches forward again.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of season 3 recently, and there was one episode that I couldn't believe the amount of coloring mistakes. Just every scene there was somebody that had something wrong with them. So it was quite funny.
You know, there's a strong tradition of coloring errors in Transformers.
That's right.
And I refuse to acknowledge any of them were mine.
Yeah, no, there was nothing in Regen 1, though, right? Nothing in Regen 1.
Oh, no, never.
I mean, they all ended a couple years ago. All the errors.
All the coloring errors.
Yeah, there was a mandate and punishable by death, so.
That was a good question, Daryl. Casey, have you had a chance to really, you know, think about this? I mean, do you want it to look like the cartoon did?
Well, I've always been a fan of those Generation 1 character models. And, you know, if I were to draw a comic associated with the old cartoon, I think I would like it to really resemble the more well animated episodes of the cartoon, or maybe like the movie. A lot of the stuff in the movie looked really nice.
Mm-hmm.
With the cell shaded characters on the more painted looking backgrounds. I can imagine that's kind of the type of look that I would like to see.
I've been reading the Batman 66, and one of the things I love about that book is how well they're trying to copy the TV show look and feel. Mm. So I'd be really appreciative of that kind of effort and detail going into it. I think that's a great idea.
I think I for me the sort of the animated look, and Transformers the movie, the way that is, you know, is painted, the way everything gleams, and the detail in the backgrounds and stuff is just a constant source of inspiration for me. I mean, I don't often get to do that, strictly that, in colouring, and I think it would be quite refreshing to do that on the, you know, on a book that was meant to reference it. I mean, I did something along those lines on Regen issue 0, on Nick Roach's pages with the, you know, there's no black lines in the background. Everything's painted. And the foreground is pretty much just highlights. Or it might actually be just shadows. But it was, you know, I was sat there with stills making sure that the way in which the gleam and the reflections and the shine and everything were done the way that they, and I'm doing finger quotes for those that can't see, the way they're supposed to look. Mm. That was quite important, that I really wanted to mimic that look, because I just think it's such a good look.
I think the movie is really the best reference for that too. I mean, when you look at some of the old episodes of the cartoon, the characters are just colored flat for the most part, but when you look at the cells from the movie, there's a gleam and there's a shadow involved too, which, you know, makes the three different tones of each color on each robot that really kind of make them spring to life.
Yeah. I think that the biggest challenge with something like that is getting the, would actually be the storytelling, just in terms of, you know, would you want an issue? Well, could you accept an issue in which Optimus Prime was hunted by a big game hunter? or, you know, because the tone of the movie is so different to the tone of season 2. Although you've got episodes like War Dawn and things like that, which I think have got a much more, you know, they're you can see them almost feeling their way through saying, let's have some sort of mythology and history and backstory to things. Mm-hmm. And I think definitely episodes like War Dawn have got a nice tone to them that fit with the movie, as well as some of the lighter elements. But, you know, so much of what makes the animated series is the voice acting, that I think if it's just written down, then probably the writing has to update a little bit. Cause, you know, if you're not hearing certain characters speak, you kind of need to use the other senses more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
As we don't have touch or taste as options, it's got to be, you know, what you see and what you read.
That's really the downside with digital comics. You don't have the taste that you would with physical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure all of you eat your issues after you've read them. I know I do.
I lick the covers.
See, I do it to absorb the power of the writers who've worked on the issues. So I figure James and John are getting pretty weak right about now. I've eaten a lot of comics.
So, so in order to get this thing off the ground, this is really a grassroots effort. So we need the fans to really express their support for this idea. So if you really want to see this happen, you've got to, you know, let IDW know. You've got to let Hasbro know. So Yoshi, you've got a plan to make our voices heard, right? So what are we planning?
I do have a plan, and we'll have links to this, on the Transmissions website. But probably the easiest thing people can do is sign our online petition that says that, you know, you're interested in this book that takes place in the Transformers cartoon universe, and that you would happily buy or subscribe to the issues. I'm also personally sending IDW handwritten letters saying you're crazy for not doing this, more or less. And that's something everybody can do. And we'll have the addresses available on the website too. So you can very easily take a postcard from wherever you're from. Just say, you know, you want to see this comic and send the thing. You know, I'm a firm believer in the written word having a really positive effect on this kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's what we can do. We can help gather these signatures. We will present them to IDW, and what happens from there is completely in their hands. But at least, you know, I feel like we as fans have done our part to say, hey, we want you to take our money in this form because we want this book. So do with that what you will. That's my take on this. And, you know, I definitely encourage people to toss their ideas at us, but, you know, the more people IDW hears from us, I think the better.
All right. So thanks, Casey and JP, for joining us and kind of just putting it out there. I know you're fans as well, so, you know, showing your interest to work on something like this is just great to show that there are artists and writers out there who would be interested in this. And we hope that IDW will listen, and we hope the fans will come up and say that they want this, because I want this, so hopefully a lot of other people want it too.
I want two copies of each.
There you go. There will be three copies of each available via IDW colors or covers, and I would buy the shit out of this book.
I think it all goes back to the fans, really. Like, I want this book as a fan, as a fan of two things. One is, like I said, as a fan of JP's writing, it doesn't seem a lot of opportunity to get in as a writer. Breaking in as a writer is a really hard thing anyway. And, you know, the books as they currently stand, they all have a very solid team behind them. And I don't think the writers are going to give up their spots anytime soon. So as a fan of JP, I'd love to see him get an opportunity to write Transformers. And something like this would be awesome. And, you know, as a fan of the old cartoon, I'd like to see more in that universe. So, yeah, I'm behind it, whether I have anything to do with it or not. Like I said, I would definitely throw my hat in the ring to be a part of it. But yeah, if this is something the fans want to see, then yeah, make some noise.
Yeah, again, Amy. Again, that is. You know, it's something I would echo. It's a period in time which hasn't really been explored very much, which just makes it really exciting. You know, it gets my, you know, the storytelling side of my brain just firing on all cylinders. But yeah, again, I come from the point of view of a fan. You know, I love Transformers. You know, I think. But if that wasn't obvious, I don't know why I'm here. If otherwise, but you know, this is something I would love to see, in one shape or form, one way or another. You know, whoever's involved with it, I would be, again, very happy to support it. And if people are excited by the idea of that being me, then well, that's also fantastic.
Awesome.
And I have to also add that after. Having got a chance to work with Casey a little bit in a row, after a bit of a gap, I would, you know, I enjoy working with him to a degree that is probably unhealthy. So,
well, likewise,
I'm excited. So yeah, we'll have links in our show notes. If you like what you heard, if you want to support this project and you're interested in buying this book, sign our petition and raise your voice so IDW hears you.
Yep, you can find everything on our website, www.transmissionspodcast.com.
Thanks for picking up our transmission. Give us feedback on our website at www.transmissionspodcast.com, where you can find all of our contact info on social media and links to all of our show notes discussed in each episode. You can also email us directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com.